Arcane Analysis is brought to you by BlizzPro.com, partnered with Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Follow them on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Legion by Lenovo or visit LenovoGaming.com.
The portals are open. The refreshments are conjured. Settle down for Arcane Analysis.
Welcome to episode 4 of Arcane Analysis. Tonight I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Allie.
Hi.
And Katie.
Hello.
And tonight we will be covering PvP. Allie, would you like to kick us off?
Yeah. So PvP has become a bit of a staple in Legion. They really kicked it off with the Broken Shores and pushed it in as this Alliance versus Horde mentality alongside the whole fighting the Legion. And so that's been transferred over into a bunch of areas of the game. They added all the world quests between the Warden Towers and the Brawls. There's Order Hall quests between the Ashren, the BG Winds, and the Arena Winds. And they've changed up how the systems worked to really try and get more people into it, make it a little easier to grasp, and a little more fun. And I think, personally, I think they succeeded.
They've definitely reached a whole new area of people with PvP. Before, I would say in previous expansions, it was difficult to get in. In Warlords of Draenor, they did try to expand it so it didn't feel like only PvP players could be a part of the club. Started to open up the doors a little bit more. And Legion has pushed that to an incredible extent by, you know, no special PvP gear requirements. You get, you know, all of these opportunities to get geared, for example, through your world quests, your order hall quests. You can go back to Ashran, like Allie was saying, BG wins, Arena wins. There's just so many ways to accumulate your gear for PvP, including you can continue to be a PvE person and continue to raid, continue to do your dungeons. And with that gear, you can hop into that battleground. You can hop into that arena. So it's just really opened up the floodgates to really anybody can play PvP now.
It makes it really interesting to get your friends in. Like before, you had to go through and get the gear, and it took some time because you had to farm the honor, and you had to, during that time, you were just getting destroyed. If you didn't have the right resilience or the right PvP power of the time, whatever flavor of stat they threw on purely PvP gear, you were at a severe disadvantage. And so if you didn't start at the beginning, you were kind of out of luck. And that kind of felt frustrating to say.
Yeah, one of those things where accessibility was always an issue with raiding, and we've kind of solved it with all of the different difficulty levels and scaling and, you know, non-fixed groups in addition to fixed ones, where PvP still had this hard gate of gear. If you didn't jump in at first, you were probably not going to touch at all expansion. Unless you had friends and got carried for a bit until you could kind of walk on your own 2 feet. And with the removal of PvP specific stats and even the separation of PvE spells and talents to PvP spells and talents, there's some separation, but the accessibility has been bottomed out in a good way.
Certainly. And not having that PvP requirement has changed how they've allowed gear to be an influence. Gone is the day where you came in with a certain set of stats and you were going to, you loved haste and you had all your stats into haste as much as you could, and you were just casting constantly, or you really loved crit because PvP favors a lot of burst, and so to get a couple crits was a huge increase in your damage. They've toned that back. They said, okay, if you're a frost mage, you get so much crit, so much haste, so much versatility, and so much mastery. And if you're a blood DK, you get another set stats. And, you know, using the things such as item levels, which has become prevalent through all gearing, they can slowly increase that. As you raise your item level, they can statically increase your stats that you're allocated slowly at a time. So before, you know, if you had 10 item levels in somebody, you were just going to destroy them, it seemed. And it's 20 or 30, you were infinitely more stronger than they were. And so it made it hard to get involved if you were behind on the gear. But now they've able to scale that back. So instead of 10 item levels being 10% increased damage, now it's, you know, maybe 1%. So it helps mitigate that and brings skill more into the play.
Skill has definitely been rewarded more in Legion over gearing, for that reason, where it was this real, there was the devs' interest and want for the players to feel like they could come into PvP and not be intimidated. Because before, it was before, like we were saying, like you would, if you didn't start doing PvP at the beginning of expansion, not just for each PvP season, but if you didn't start doing it at the end, at the beginning of the expansion, you would go into a battleground, you would go into arena, and you would just get obliterated because you, your item levels were so low, you didn't have the right, you know, PvP stats at all. Whereas now it's just, you hop in, those item levels, they're not really mattering. And it's actually highlighting what people have just been wanting for a long time, which is that skill should always outweigh your gear. And we've just, we're really seeing that in Legion. It's just fantastic.
Gear is still definitely worth it, but you don't have that draw. Like before, the first thing you got with your PvP gear was your trinket to get you out of stuns and roots and things like that, polymorphs, your CC break, and that was the big thing. If you didn't have that, you just quite literally sat in all CC. Not to say that you couldn't still sit in extended CC, but it helped break that up a little bit, give you a little bit of an out, especially during the first burst window.
It gives you a choice, at least from like a mage perspective. Our only other CC break was a 5-minute cooldown.
And so it gives you a little bit more survivability, not having to worry about that. Like right off the bat, you go into a battleground, and you get your, it's a spell. So you can go in with any pieces of gear and you can have your CC break. And it's just another frostbolt or just another fire blast or anything else that you would normally cast.
Now, while we're on the lines of gear, it's interesting to see just the different iteration of stats just for PvP has even changed over from expansion to expansion, because I know I remember resilience and having to get resilience capped, or at least, you know, hit like a soft level where you wouldn't get one shot, in addition to getting spell pen so that, you know, you didn't have a resisted polymorph at a key moment and just get laughed out of the battleground practically. But one thing that I also remember with that is gearing, not just you having to farm for the gear, but back in Wrath, you could do PvE gear or PvE content like Vault of Archibon. And granted, it was usually a disappointment and people groaned when it happened, but you could get, you know, PvP tier sets off of the bosses in there, and having one piece was usually at least a really good leg up in the right direction. It was more accessibility at the time, especially for me as a brand new player, than I had seen before, and I haven't seen that since until Legion, where I can just jump in at my PvE gear and go and solo other people and be amazing, or at least feel amazing in my baddiness.
No, that was actually having that opportunity to get a couple of pieces while doing a PvE instance did, I think that it helped some players go like, you know what, like, I want to try PvP. It was sort of a way for them to step in. And we actually didn't see that again until Dragon Soul, where you know, you could continue to wear your PvE gear into those battlegrounds. But however, unlike with having just a dedicated set of PvP gear, when you're walking in with the Dragon Soul, what am I saying? Like the gear abilities, where you would have like the dagger, you would have Girthrak, and it was just making it a mess for PvP players because they didn't have those special abilities on their gear, and so these PvE players were coming in and just annihilating, you know, whole battlegrounds because their gear just had so many additional effects in addition to raw stats that they were just destroying everything.
I know what you're talking about, like like Blood Drinker and stuff like that. The amount of like leech off of those against another player was gross.
Oh, it was awful. Like, I mean, there was a time where as an RBG, like I played a lot of RBGs in Kata and MOP, that was a thing. And you did not queue into, like, one of your requirements for your team was, we need our, if we have any melee, they need to have Girthorak. If we, and we definitely need the Warlock with, oh, I'm forgetting what it was. It was the dagger. It just basically just spread aids everywhere. And you could not even go into an RBG without those type of players on your team. Otherwise, you were just going to lose. You wouldn't be able to move out of the 1500 bracket.
That just doesn't seem right to have, you know, PvP be so mandated on gear and then suddenly have the PvE people destroy the PvP players. And so I guess this mentality of gear doesn't matter, don't worry about it, we'll make it work, has caught my interest a lot. It means that I can go in when I want, whenever I want, and still be able to get stuff. And that kind of caught my eye because those warden towers, as they've tried to catch us in, they're PvE content. At least I'm on a PvE server, so it's pretty much PvE content. They offered artifact power, which is great, because it's like, oh, well, I can get a leg up. I can get that extra token. That'll be cool. And then I realized I got some honor. And then getting some honor levels as you level up, you got some more benefits. So it was cool to then translate that into getting the, I got the Battleground quest next. And so I went into some Battlegrounds and said, oh, well, this is a lot of fun. And I didn't have to worry about my gear. And I just realized that if I had the highest item level items equipped, then I knew I was doing the best I could. And realizing that trinket effects and procs and stuff like that and legendaries were being disabled was like, oh, well, I don't have to worry about having the right gear per se. I can just have any gear. And then the game would help. Now, that kind of, I don't know, to me seems a little frustrating. You have the gear being such an end game goal for PvP for such a long time. Now it's not worth it, I guess. It's just there for transmog and stuff, for, you know, looking the part, but it just, I don't know, it just seemed a little weird not to have gear be your goals anymore.
I think that was, I think that there are some players that feel that way, where it's like, that, you know, previously you're working through this currency system to gather up all of your PvP gear. However, what was ending up happening was that players, if they fell behind even a week, they weren't as competitive, or they really struggled to even get onto specific teams, especially if they were only pugging. So almost escaping that sort of situation where if you didn't meet your cap for a previous week, or even if your cap was too low to get a specific part of specific gear, there are definitely times where if you had the lowest cap set, because your cap sets were determined by your ranking, you wouldn't be able to get a piece of gear, whereas someone that had a higher rating than you did had a bigger cap and therefore could get gear faster than you. So you, what ended up happening was that a lot of people got displaced because they just didn't have a high enough rating to begin with, and then that meant that they just continue to fall behind in gear. So now you don't have to worry about gear at all. You can just focus on playing the game. So with PvP players, what was ending up happening was that people weren't, they were trying to get their rating as high up as possible as fast as they could when they could do it, but there was also this lull where people would be in a race to get all the gear, and then once they got it, they either stopped playing, or if they were behind because they didn't have enough gear pieces, or if they missed a week, they would stop playing then. So I think that this has allowed for a much healthier cycle of PvP by not having not having PvP gear be so important to how you play. Because like you were saying previously, you're adding like 10 item levels is about equivalent of like an extra 1% of stats, whereas before it was like having 10 item levels over someone else, that would mean that you would just completely dominate, you know, that duel that you were in.
Yeah, that's a reasonable thing to look at. And it's not like the gear doesn't look good. It's nice to have that acknowledgement. I started walking around in the Paladin class hall and noticed a really cool set of gear. And I'm like, you know, what is that? And I look at the transmog items and there it is, the, you know, the elite tier skins. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. And I know I'll never get to it, but it's kind of neat that they still get that chance to shine and you know, stand apart, because it is such a different atmosphere from what most people play.
Right. Well, the artifact appearances that have been rewarded through PvP have been, I would say, a lot flashier than they have previously. So for example, in Warlords or even expansions before that, you would have your regular PvP gear, and then you had the PvP Elite sort of cosmetic sets where they were only players that hit like 2200 plus were able to unlock those. And they weren't a different model. They were just a different color of the same set that you could farm otherwise. And so having these new appearances, like the prestige PvP appearances, they're just so much more. They're a different color, but they're still different enough from the PvP, or excuse me, PvE appearances that it's like you're saying, it's just eye-catching. You're like, oh, what is that? Oh, wow, that's from the PvP. And that meant that they, you know, turned in so much prestige in order to get that. It's really nice to see.
I was just talking about the elite gear. Like, there was this big, flashy gold paladin in the gear, and that was really kind of cool to see. But of course, yeah, the artifact skins are really cool as well. And they definitely have a little different look to them. And it's you can see the people that have put the effort in, and definitely it shows. And it's not hard to get there. It just takes time. But the more in-depth PvP people definitely have them first and definitely show them off. And it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I love seeing them. I think it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. One of these days I'll get one. I'm pretty slow on the PvP grind.
Threes, right? We can do the grind together.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
I know I've done some twos with you, Allie, but I actually did like a bunch of twos and threes last week because I had some of our hardcore raiders wanted to get their legendary upgrades, and there were two weekly quests for getting 10 wins from twos and threes to get the essences. So I was like, hey, I'll join you guys. I kind of PvP sometime. And we actually like popped the PvP arena cherry for like the main tank for the raiding guild. And he still says that I carried him, even though we're like 800 rating, but we won like 75-80% of our twos and threes.
Hey,
it's pretty solid. I like that.
Yeah, it was fun because he was like, yeah, this isn't too bad. And he was PvPing as a tank too, and he just wouldn't die.
Oh yeah, tanks don't die in PvP. Right now it's really frustrating to try and kill them.
You just don't. They're just there for CC. They're a CC bot. Or a heal bot.
But it was interesting you bring up the weekly quests. Usually what happened was at the end of the week, you had your... you got your cap increase, or through the week you earned your currency. Now, you know, you win 10 arenas and you get an extra cash, and it gives you bonus chances at loot and extra AP and gold and other kind of cool things. And at 22 wins for twos, or maybe it's 5 and 10, I can't remember exactly, you get another cash. And then for 10 three wins in the threes bracket, you get another cash. And it's kind of a cool like incentive to keep you going. Like, it's not just,
it's
and
a
the fact that it resets
granular reward and progression kind of sequence, which is nice. The other thing in addition to that, from like the quests that you get from the order halls, there's also like the weekly, you know, they used to be like just raid quests of go kill, you know, X boss and X raid for this thing. They rotate. So like sometimes you've got arenas, and sometimes you've got battlegrounds, and sometimes you need to go kill a raid boss or run dungeons. And it's nice that there's that inclusivity of like, oh, these weekly quests are actually for everybody, even if it's out of your normal range of play. It's something to at least try and put the carrot on the stick to introduce more people to kind of a niche area of WoW that I think a lot of people just don't bother with.
I mean, it goes back to, I think, the gear thing. People that tried to get involved would just get turned away because they were just getting destroyed. It's like, oh, well, that's not fun. Nobody wants to get you know, blown up by everybody and walk away. Like, to not be able to stand a chance is incredibly frustrating. And honestly, I don't blame people for walking away. I walked away. I got into it probably a month and a half after one expansion released, and I was like, this is silly. I don't want to be involved with this. And so I quite literally walked away and never touched it since. And they've done a lot to, with the spell changes and balance changes and stuff recently, they've helped to bring the CC back a little bit. It's still kind of out of control, in my opinion. But gone are the days where you could be controlled by a rogue
indefinitely.
Indefinitely, yeah. Like, they've merged some CCs, they've helped some of the DRs a little bit, and while you can still get controlled to death on a rogue or a good CC combo set, it's much less likely you're going to encounter that in most circumstances. Now, if you're in the higher ranked sets, you know, if you're in the top PV players, oh, of course you're going to encounter that, but you're also going to know how to defend against it a little bit more. So it's nice to,
there's a light, you know, at the end of the tunnel. At least that I've noticed. And it's interesting because I haven't, I think I mentioned earlier, I haven't PvP'd since Wrath. So it's been 7 years.
Welcome back.
And like, I spent all of last night PvPing. I mean, it mostly it was just to get the weekly quest done, but I actually had fun. There was a lot of screaming and cursing, but I had a lot of fun and I killed people and it was great.
Yeah, a lot of cursing at people. That sounds like fun. That's part of, that's PvP. You did it.
Yeah, it sounds like PvP 101.
I won the World of Warcraft because I got mad in PvP.
But with those balance changes and the paring down of CC, they've also changed how different spells work. In the past, devs would talk about, well, no, we can't change balance PvE, PvP. That would, that's not the way the thing, you know, things work. And then you had abilities like Colossal Smash when that was implemented. What was it, in Cataclysm? It was destroying people in PvP, because going from full armor to zero armor is ridiculous on a plate class and even on a mage. Like, that 20% or that 15% armor reduction that you get, it matters a lot. It matters a whole lot. And to lose it is just unbearable, honestly. And so they toned it back, and so it didn't reduce all your armor. It reduced some of your armor. It was still a lot, and it still made it a massive ability to hit. But that, I guess, started the role, and now everything, a lot of spells have different effects. For a while, Frostbolt did 10% more damage in PvP, or it applied a different slow effect in PvP versus PvE, and it helps them to tweak things without affecting the PvE game as much. It still affects it, but it allows them to better control that, as opposed to just rampantly, like, oh, well, I don't know, we've all encountered the, well, this class is awful in PvE, so we're going to buff it, and then they start dominating in PvP because that buff was never, you know, they were doing well in PvP beforehand, and now suddenly they're that much stronger.
Yeah, I also think it lends a lot to just class and spec viability overall. Like, up until, I'd probably say, Warlords, you didn't PvP as anything besides a Frostmage.
And that is true.
All I do now is run around as fire, and it's hilarious, and it's effective, and it's still fun. Like, it was something that, granted, back in the days, I used to play a lot of Arcane, and I would do twos and threes as Arcane and Wrath, but if I didn't blow every single cooldown I had and delete someone in the first 20 seconds of a fight, I was completely useless the rest of the time. Now I've got some longevity, I've got viability, and I'm not, you know, getting cursed at and told to delete my tune and alt F4 out of the battleground kind of thing. It's nice to have some equality. And choice.
Well, it's like you're saying, like, before in PvP, that was like, you pretty much had one spec for every class that was viable. Where it's like, okay, like, you can't play as Arcane in PvP. Are you nuts? Like, maybe, like, even for a raid of battleground, nah, like, things like that. It would just immediately get deleted.
You gotta play subtlety.
Oh, only subtlety.
You have to play, BM hunters were the thing for the longest time because your pet was so strong and couldn't really be controlled nearly as much as a player. Just any number of specs or classes were one thing. I mean, it was arms warriors. You didn't play as fairy. I mean, you could, but you could say that about any of the specs. It was arms warriors and,
it was arms warriors, maybe feral. So for your druid, you'd rarely ever see bear. There was like a hot minute where druid flag carrier bear was the thing, but you never roll in really as a tank. Certainly never played Boomkin in arena. I mean, there are some notable streamers that have done it before, but it was more of like a novelty and not really a serious, you weren't going to be a serious contender if you chose Boomkin over Feral. It was just nuts, honestly. It was very much like only there was a small window, and even if you didn't play, like, you already had the gear issue, and then if you also didn't play the right spec, now you're really phased out of PvP. Whereas in Legion, we've seen a lot more flexibility in what you can do, which specs are viable. It's been a lot of fun.
And we touched on it with leveling through, when I mentioned honor levels, as you go through the honor levels, you get new PvP specific spells. And a couple of them that I'm for mages, I think it's the Nether Armor. So it heals you for the amount of damage you've taken in the last 6 seconds, which is great. It's wonderful. It's the only time I can actually heal myself. And I know to pop it as soon as I'm going to get focused down and burst on. And if I survive, I can go back to full health, and it's great. It's a little unsettling because I miss it in PvE content sometimes. It would be incredibly overpowered for mage survivability in most situations, but to know that I can eat an ability and then go pop up to full health would be really kind of neat. I almost miss it.
Yeah, no, the PvP abilities have just been really cool. Like, they play out really well in PvP. They're a lot of fun to use. And it's like you were saying, it's like, I wish I could use it, more often. Like, I wish I could be using it in PvE content, but, it's balanced for PvP, and it's just only in the realm for PvP. So I guess it's nice that you feel like there are two different, there are two different ways to play your character, and you can just queue into one instance over the other, depending on, what kind of... It is like Allie, like you're saying, like there are times they're so strong and so awesome. Like, I want to be able to use them PvE content, but alas, they're only for PvP. So it's just been really fun and cool to have this feeling of like incredible power and kind of excitement to use your different abilities when you queue into a PvP instance.
Yeah, and it makes it's a lot of, I guess, fun to use those abilities, and it changes up and it adds some utility to some specs that might need a little extra help in the PvP realm, while making sure that it's not overpowering, because they are spec specific, so it's not overpowering for everybody as they walk in on other specs.
Yeah, I mean, now we're just getting to see everything's being more balanced. People are, specs are getting buffs where they need them to really help them survive in a PvP environment, giving, previously squishy, like super squishy classes a little bit more survivability so they can get off cast and not be immediately burst upon being in range of any spell or melee attack. So it's just been really nice to see the variety of players that can actually enjoy PvP now.
Certainly. I guess, kind of on the side of this, it's something that I've come across that I'm finding is a little frustrating, is the classes that can heal themselves, especially significantly, seemingly have a little bit more, a lot more use than those that can't. So like a mage, I can't actually choose when to heal myself. I literally have to be burst almost to dead to get all that health back through the armor. And that's, again, that's a talent. So it's not always the best choice, Like if I'm facing an affliction warlock, I definitely want the one that decreases the damage I take by dots by 15%, just because of how strong they can be.
Is there nothing for frost that lets you heal yourself? Because I'm not sure if that's a fire thing, because I can heal myself when I blink.
Yeah, that's a fire artifact talent.
Okay, so frost. I wasn't sure if there was any something that had any comparable.
Yeah, Allie
on the other
was
weapons.
Saying that the only thing that she has is she can do a cooldown where for 6 seconds any damage dealt to her is healed back to her, but you have to be so on top of hitting that cooldown and hoping that the enemy doesn't realize you're using that cooldown and just blows all their spells into you to use it effectively. Otherwise,
you have to survive is the thing too. Like if you die, it's useless. But like, and then I come across rogues who are, you know, I get them down to like 30% health, and then suddenly I see their health going up farther, faster than I can deal damage into it, and that's really confusing, I guess. Like for a class that's all about CC and control and everything, to be able to heal themselves to full, like the idea is that if you can't control your target, you should die. But that's not what I see. Like I see if you can't control your target, we're going to give you a heal so that you can get back to controlling your target. And now, I mean, that's all, you know, a little bit of bias.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, it's like, but all the healing seems to be a little excessive almost, in the classes that don't really get hurt.
You bring up an excellent point, which is true. It's like these classes that can self-heal, because I think we talked about it actually a little bit before our show, but right now, one of the ways you can sort of get an edge over other players, despite all the balance tweaks that have happened, despite how item level has sort of enabled, like gear hasn't mattered as much, the item levels do enable you to get to increase your health pool. It's like around every 10 item levels or something, you get like an extra like 500 HP or something like that. But what's happening is like what you're saying is that as soon as these classes can do a little bit of self-healing, they get the edge over you because they have, you know, that much, you know, they're going to survive just an extra spell cast that, you know, otherwise they wouldn't have been able to do. So if they can self-heal on top of that, now you're just not going to be able to do enough damage to these classes that are kind of almost being rewarded for not playing properly. They've been given this crutch to do self-healing, like you're saying with the rogue, when their target is not being CC'd properly, which is in their tool set to do. Like it's in their tool set to make sure that you as the mage cannot continue spellcasting into them. But instead they have this ability where they can heal when they're unable to, you know, control you, the mage, but you as the mage don't have enough damage to, you know, stop that healing or stop them from ceasing. It's I find that actually kind of ridiculous.
Now, and again, it could be player error, so I don't claim to be this great person, but it's something that's come up across me. And then you also have this disparity between casters and melee right now. When I play pretty much every comp I come up against, and again, I'm in the lower ranks, so there's some crazy things going on. But I see healer X, but that X is pretty much 90% a melee spec. And it's kind of rough as a caster. I mean, I'm not sure if any you or others have come across it or made similar comments, but as a caster, if I get interrupted, most of the time it comes with a spell lock. So not only is my spell interrupted, but now I can't cast for 3 or 4 seconds. And then if they come in and can close gaps on me, they can stun me typically. And so now I have some 3 to 5 seconds of not casting and just trying to move, and then, you know, a full stun maybe, and then a subsequent CC facing DRs. But then as soon as those stuns and DRs are coming up, they can silence me again or, you know, try to. And it's, you can kind of try to juke those interrupts, but it's not always the easiest thing to do. And I don't know, it just seems like melee has the upper hand because you can't silence them. You can only stun them. But again, DRs with diminishing returns work that you can't permastun somebody. So they're always technically going to be able to taunt you. and with all the mobility going on, it's an interesting look on that.
Yeah, so what you're describing, what we're seeing is we're seeing this increase in mobility creep, where more of these melee classes, the theory is that as a caster, you should always be out of range of your melee. Therefore, you're able to probably dump some more damage into them before they get to you. However, because there has been mobility creep, there's so many more gap closers for melee to get onto those casters. Those casters aren't really able to get those spells off to begin with. So in theory, it's like they should be able to get one or two casts off before being in melee range and being, you know, CC'd or spell locked, so the melee can catch up. Instead, the melee is just on top of you almost immediately, they're able to dump that damage into you before you're able to put any damage to them. And then, of course, as melee, they tend to have a higher, they'll be plate most likely, or have, you know, heavy, like they'll have more armor than, you know, a ranged caster that's probably going to be a clothy. So you're already like in a lot of trouble with that situation. And then, of course, as a caster, because again, the theory is that you're not supposed to be in range of these people. However, they're immediately gap closing. You don't have, maybe outside of the mage, you know, a mage can kind of blink away to recreate that distance once again. But, you know, the cooldowns are so short for gap closing that the melee is already immediately on top of you. So there's definitely a disadvantage right now to being a caster. I think that part of the reason why this is happening is that in previous expansions, casters were just always top of the charts for PvP. Melee was just always pretty much downtrodden. And I think that they tried to change that a little bit for this expansion, where melee, you know, would have some buffs. Remember, now it's 100% uptime for melee, whereas before there was a disadvantage for melee. But now, you know, it's melee is just kind of king. It's no longer World of Wizards. Now it's a world of melee and mobility creep.
Yeah, certainly. And I guess part of that thing that maybe not this season or maybe not next season particularly, but they can take a look at those mobility things and adjust. You know, as we were talking about spell balance between PvP and PvE now, they can, I guess, theoretically go in and modify those cooldowns. Say, okay, your, you know, grip is one on a 30-second cooldown or a 15-second cooldown. Well, maybe it needs to be on a 30-second cooldown, or, you know, maybe this ability. And so that, I guess, to me, that builds some hope that they can look at those abilities and say, okay, well, we need to adjust these things. And without it affecting PvE, which is definitely balanced around those things, and they're kind of set in their stones more often than not. And it's harder to adjust a slew of things on that scale as opposed to, you know, making smaller changes within the PvP realm. And so that's kind of, I guess, promising to me. But, you know, it's something, I guess, new. It's something that they haven't tried to a large extent before. And now, you know, every time you see a balance change, you say, oh, well, this only does this amount in PvP still, instead of this, you know, full damage. Or it had to be nerfed in PvE, and now it gets a slight buff in PvP. And so it's neat to see those little tweaks and twerks around the ways, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I think that they'll continue tweaking, and hopefully it's sooner than, you know, next patch or two patches from now, where they're able to start addressing some of those issues where, you know, where you're not only seeing a healer in melee for PvP, and that, you know, again, casters can feel safe to enter into the arena, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that, I kind of wonder with the ending of the next season, whenever that may be, hopefully not 10 weeks out again, that they reassess some of that, especially since they're looking to activate the rank 35 trait from the artifact weapons, which is, you know, kind of been a bit of a hot topic on its own.
Right. I mean, they started off where only traits 1 to 34, which are your base ability traits, were active, and you can get 35, but it just didn't activate, so you didn't have your increased 5% damage, you didn't have your extra stamina that you could get artificially, and I think they activated for what, like 6 hours or something like that, and then they said, oh wait, hold on a second, we can't actually do this here, and they backed off on it real quick at the start of season 2. It was kind of funny to watch, and
Yeah, and I think it was an appropriate adjustment to make, just because I think the AP creep is so much slower in PvP, and that's something that I know that they're trying to close that gap for, which is why they recently buffed 50 to 100% the AP that you're getting from instance PvP content. So they're trying to kind of boost them up, which is interesting when PvEers and raiders complain about PvP offering AP rewards, and it's like, well, you guys can double dip, whereas they're really not.
They're more likely not to. I mean, you're not going to have the organized groups that are going to go through and run the Mythic Pluses constantly over and over and over again. Whereas in PvP, they're just going to hop into Battlegrounds, and it's a much slower game.
Right. I think not so much the skill cap, but the extreme focus on absolute min-maxing optimization to a almost unhealthy level comes a lot more from the PvE side than it does the PvP, because you can min-max all you want all day, but if you can't stun your target right or interrupt the right thing or juke a cooldown or line of sight someone, it doesn't do you any good to have that extra 0.1% spell power kind of thing. So the prioritization is different from like what's going to make me be better versus what's going to make me more effective.
Mm-hmm. And even then, PvP definitely has more realms of progression. They're not only working through their artifact weapon solely, but they have their honor levels. When they reach 50, you know, you have a really neat kind of cute quest. It's really quick, but it allows you to start the prestige system, and they grant you little ranks and fun things along the way between little pets. We mentioned the artifact skins that they will show, toys and mounts, of course, and it's kind of neat to see that they're still gaining something. And it, you know, they take some time to do, and even I think there were people that capped at Prestige 3 before Season 2 opened, but most people, I'm pretty sure, were still hanging around in Prestige 3 or something like that. Unless you were really heavy into it, you weren't going to cap as easily. I know myself, I only got to Prestige 1. I don't claim to be heavy into PvP as well, but I knew some people that were more consistent about it and just barely hit 4. So it was kind of cool to offer that new bit of progression now that you don't have to worry about gear specifically. And it's progression for everybody, not just the upper tier, it's the lower tier too. You're making headway into really cool things, and you get, of course, the AP rewards and the gold that comes along. And it's not a lot, but it's
tangible. It's not just a like zero-sum sort of event where it's granular progression from a power perspective, but also just from fun. Like, hey, yeah, you can still have fun and get cute things and not have it be from potentially deemed frivolous activity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely helped get me into it more as well, because I like mounts. Mounts are cool. I like artifact skins. Those are cool too. Especially helps that the Frostmage one is probably my favorite. little bias there. It makes it more drawing, and yeah, it's frustrating, or it can be frustrating, but so can, you know, raiding. I mean, having to deal with some really wonky mechanics can be frustrating to people, especially who haven't seen something like it before and wouldn't quite know how to handle it. So it's kind of fun. I don't know. I'm enjoying it a lot more than I ever had, and that's even when I went in as a Shadow Priest at the end of Wrath and was just dotting everybody and laughing because they couldn't kill me and I was just destroying them with all the dots going out on people. It was incredibly overpowered. That's when I got Iron Man in Warsong Gulch, I think it was. Like, because you could just go through and just kill people, and a shadow you could disperse just at the last minute, and especially if you had a pocket healer, you just were almost unkillable. But it goes back to, you know, at the time, casters were king and melee were just unable to answer for the most part.
Yeah, I agree. It's nice to be able to go back in there and have fun again and not just hope for the moment that, you know, my PvP ineptitude was outweighed by my item level.
Mm-hmm. Or having to wait until you got all the right resilience gear to be effective. So it's kind of nice to, you know, get into it.
It's nice to get into it and feel like you're contributing too, right? Like, I mean, because exactly. You were so gear reliant, it was just like you were a total, you know, you were just, you know, you were weighing down the team. Like, I remember people that would queue into a battleground, you would, and, you know, if you're serious about PvP, you had all the gear for that week, you know, you had, you know, everything capped, you had the, you know, you were the tip top shape, and then here's this person in blues and greens, and, you know, they're trying to hold the flag, but of course they're going to get immediately blown up and everyone's yelling at them. Like, I mean, it'd be an awful first time experience for anybody. It's almost like this, like the most brutal hazing you go through was World of Warcraft PvP. I mean, really, it was, I remember the first time I played World of Warcraft, I was super hyped to play PvP. The person I was leveling with, my leveling buddy, he's like, he almost did like this pat on the shoulder thing over Skype, and he was like, okay, we're ready to queue into your first battleground. And I was, oh my God, I was just so excited. And this was back in Kata. And we queue in, I think it was a level 30 bracket or something. It's Warsong Gulch, I'm ready. My friend's like, oh my God, this is my favorite one. What a great one that we queued into. And I was like, oh, I'm so excited. By the end of it, I was in tears. I was like, why am I playing this game? It's awful. I just died instantly to anything. People are yelling at me. You know, and so it just, I mean, that was, I think that was just most people's experiences. And just, I guess, lucky for me, I was just stubborn, unbelievably stubborn, but, and also had a friend that could console me after I was licking my tears. But just imagine anybody else that was, you know, they're like, oh, like my raiding group isn't online. I guess I'm going to, you know, hop in and try a battleground, and you don't, you know, and that's your experience by yourself. It's like, why would I ever come back to this? So it's just been
check, please.
Great.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's an overwhelming sentiment. A couple months ago, I was actually getting in to try and do PvP stuff for myself, just for the sake of curiosity, you know, I was polling people that follow me on Twitter and be like, hey, how do you feel about this? And the overwhelming majority was just like, tried it once, never touching it again, can't convince me otherwise, no. And
that is
just complete stonewalled. And I got it, because I've been there, but like you, Katie, I'm really stubborn sometimes. And if you can, you know, stubborn through the really frustrating parts, it opens up to a world of a lot of fun, but some people don't have the patience or the emotional fortitude for it, which I get, because sucking can be really abusive on your morale and desire there's no reward for keeping to try unless you've got someone to encourage you, or at least some kind of tangible increase or benefit. And so it's nice to come back now, and like, I know I keep referencing yesterday, but it was actually like noticeably more fun for me than it has been in a long time running Battlegrounds, because usually I'm that idiot that doesn't know what to do. I don't know the like two-letter initials for each point on most maps. Unless
exactly
it's like Arathi Basin, they're like LM, and I'm like, what's LM? Oh, it's the lumber mill. Okay, sure.
Go to the farm.
Which one's the farm? Is the farm on our side or is it on the other one? Oh, that's our side. Okay, I'm going to go to the farm. And, like, I spent a lot of time camp defending farm last night, and it was really dull. And I complained about it a lot and was just like, this is the dullest thing ever. I'm not PvP. I'm just sitting here twiddling my thumbs. Well, maybe I'll mount up and I'll wander over here and, oh God, someone's coming. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. And then I killed them and I defended a thing, and it was the most exciting moment in PvP that I've had in, you know, like 8 years.
Wow.
And I did it more than once and it was awesome.
Yes. You kept like the farm safe.
I did. I was excited because I smoked a pally and two demon hunters.
Wow, impressive.
Mm-hmm. And then where else was I? Oh, it was a Windwalker monk on Silver Shard. I killed him and it was glorious. Like, So much so that I actually, like, video captured the clip and posted it because I was so proud of myself. But it was just nice. It was like I said, it was more fun than I've had in years. And that includes in the last couple of years of raiding. Like, I want to get done with the show tonight and go play somewhere because it was fun and addicting.
Well, I guess we've talked a lot of, you know, the getting into it, the general, the new PvPers and the you know, I guess the masses. But what about those top end players? You know, what are they experiencing with this? Suddenly their gear doesn't mean they can face roll into a battleground and know that they're going to be the top damage or something like that. And while gear still exists and it's still a thing, you know, do you think that would distract them? Or, you know, discourage them a little bit of, oh, well, I can't be completely overpowered all the time and, you know, boohoo. But, you know, honestly, there's a legit feeling of, like, you know, I put in the effort. I have, you know, a 2600 rating or a 27 or, you know, a 3100. I don't know what the ratings go up to, honestly.
I know it goes to 22.
I don't feel that the top end of PvP players really gain like a serious satisfaction from just obliterating people that have no skill. It's not like, I think they take some sort of, like, it's exciting where they feel like they're smurfing in a battleground. It's like, yeah, I just like deleted everybody. But that's not where I don't think that pride or that happiness is so much so that they would feel kind of like, oh, well, now everybody kind of, you know, gets to be sort of the same skill or like same power level I am, because the skill level is just so different between all these, you know, between different players, that I think that's where the real gratification comes from. It's not really about like, oh, I'm most powerful due to my gear. I think that's actually sort of helped them get more excited about just, you know, again, just demonstrating that skill beats all. Because one of the big issues in Warlords of Draenor was that people would just randomly get amazing gear. Like, it was like, wow, this person just RNG'd like 5 pieces of PvP gear in the first week. Well, now we have no chance of really, you know, doing a fair fight, because that person that we're going to queue against has 5 pieces of PvP gear, and I didn't get lucky with my boxes for the week or my caches, and I get, you know, I got the basic 1, you know. And so I think that Legion has really helped kind of fix that issue, and, you know, again, because the gear is just not really as important to it, it's just really brought it back to skill, and that's just something that PvP players have always, you know, talked about and, you know, wanted. It's like they've always just wanted there to be a more obvious, you know, skill over item level and a skill over gear, you know, type of dynamic. And here we are with Legion. So I think that high-end PvP players are really happy right now with that.
It'd be interesting to, I guess I might ask if anybody is a higher PvP or listening, please send us some comments on that, because that would be interesting to get your feedback for more information. I guess also in that line, we alluded to the fact that we have had multiple seasons. Legion's first season was like 10 weeks long or something. It's incredibly short. I think most of them were like 20 or 20 some weeks. But previously they were mostly tied to raid releases, and now we're here at Nighthold and we're on season 2, and, you know, maybe it's coming to a close, I don't know, for season 2. Maybe we'll see season 3 shortly. But it's kind of neat to see those shorter seasons to get the turnover. And for the higher people, you know, the people that are getting glad constantly, they're getting their, you know, they're at least supposedly getting their mounts quicker. There's a little snafu and handing out rewards at the end of the season 1. And, you know, I'm sure that'll get fixed up. But, you know, suddenly they're going to get, you know, twice the amount of glad mounts, or the people chasing the war saddles, they'll have shorter times to gather those wins, but potentially they'll get more. And that's, I don't know, I think that's kind of cool. Allows them more turnover, more progression, I guess, quote unquote.
Yeah, I think those rewards have helped with just sort of incentivizing players to keep playing, because the other issue with PvP was that people would sit, what we would call sit on the raiding. So you would, and again, this is why it was so devastating in Warlords, where people were getting their gear so fast, because that meant that they could just accumulate, you know, a ton of points early and then just sit on them. So it'd make it impossible for other teams to catch up, because they weren't able to queue into higher rated teams, because the higher rated teams, you know, just sat on their score, sat on their points, and were pretty much guaranteed glad. And these other players were struggling to, you know, even queue into players where they would have the opportunity to break into those ranks. So yeah, having all of these sort of incentives and extra things that, you know, these PvP players can obtain has just really helped that community.
Cool. Yeah, because there isn't a decay for your rating, is there?
I'm not sure about this expansion. They've tried that in the past, but it's usually been where you could sit on it long enough that the decay wasn't really that big of an issue, and you would just start queue, and then people would queue like literally the last day just to, you know, strike out other people from, you know, getting to glad. I mean, it was almost like very troll and awful.
Sounds like Hearthstone.
Yeah.
A little bit, at least from what I've heard, the last day or so grind for Legendary and your ratings from there can be pretty hostile or devastating.
Yeah.
One of the other changes that I know for sure that's in Legion is rankings being based on faction, because it used to be combined, and now the Horde ratings are different from the Alliance ratings, which actually I think gives a greater exposure for players not to have to play the PvP meta of like, what's the better race to play, who's right, got the better ability, because all of that's been wiped out and normalized for the most part.
Yeah, they're pretty much just fighting against each other, so it's like you never feel like the before pretty much you would want to. There was only a brief, I would argue there was a brief time in Mist and maybe Warlords where you wanted to be Horde. And that was because the blood resistance that undead got was so powerful, like so useful against Warlocks, were just dominating during those times. But other than that, you pretty much wanted to be a human, you know, so you could have the double trinket. And that meant that, you know, any of your PvP partners would also have to be Alliance for the opportunity to play with someone with double trinket, because it was just so strong in comparison to the others. So it's really been just fantastic that they've split that ladder, where it's like, okay, if you're playing Horde, you don't have to worry about transferring to the Alliance side. And if you're, you know, Alliance, you know, you're going to be fighting against other teams that are similar to you. You're not going to be able to sort of edge out over a Horde team, because, you know, you have, you know, two people with double trinkets, and they have, you know, they don't really have that on their side. So it's just been really, it was really smart of Blizzard to do that, in my opinion.
Cool.
Yeah, I agree. One thing I will mention, just because I recently started binging their podcast, is technically PvP. Shout out to you guys. Hi, I listened and I enjoyed a lot. they had a 2200 rank DK on there this week, and he was talking about some of the gearing levels issues and stuff like that, because it seems like the gearing rate for PvP is a lot slower than PvE still, because you can run a few mythics and kind of gear yourself out, where you've got to wait for the more sparse Warforged and Titan Forges from PvP, which closes that gap. Now, granted, this is somebody that's a higher rank player, and their skill's gonna kind of supersede that, but it was just interesting to note that was like their biggest complaint, is like, well, I'm getting gear slower than a PvE-er, and that feels icky.
I would agree. Definitely having to feel pushed into PvE, because that your gearing's not keeping up with them, is a frustrating feeling. I mean, you shouldn't have to do that, and it just feels wrong, I guess. I can definitely see that disparity. You have all the gear that you can get from Mythic Plus and just keep chaining them, and the raid gear and everything else that can Warforge and stuff. Even if you have a decently high rating to up your base item level for PvP, you're still, you know, maybe you'll get a piece of gear every, you know, four or five battlegrounds. And, you know, if you're chain running Maw Souls, if you're three chesting it, that's, you know, 14, 15 minutes versus a battleground. The time it takes you to queue in is probably 15 minutes, and then you're going to spend, you know, somewhere between the range of like 20 or 40 minutes, depending on the battleground you get in there, working through that. And as much as arenas are faster, it's still a slow go.
Yeah, and the higher rating that you get, the longer those matches tend to go. And just from personal experience, as far as like grappling for PvP gear, I have one item that I've gotten the entire time that was even the same item level as my PvE stuff. So like, I've got my whole transmog set, woohoo, and then I dusted all of it because it wasn't
worth having.
It wasn't worth having because there wasn't any stat that I was going for. And I have recognized that a lot of the PvP gear seems to be way more heavily weighted on the versatility side, mm-hmm. but it's not a useful enough stat that it matters if I have a bunch of it or not, because that little extra verse isn't worth dropping 20 or 30 item levels for it. So it's like, cool, transmog, yay, dust for enchants. So I can definitely sympathize with that frustration just from my own experience. It's like, well, I'm not getting anything from this other than the fact that I'm actually having fun, which is great, but a little bit of a letdown.
Yep. I mean, at least you're getting other rewards, at least in theory. So that's better, but yeah.
Slowly but surely, I'm like rank 44 now. Yay, I have talents.
But Amy, WoW has always really been based around gear, and so to remove that, or at least make it feel inconsequential, is definitely disheartening.
Well, especially to the player that, you know, they might not have the time or really, you know, interest into PvE, and so while there's this easy way for just a PvE player, because their item level is so much higher, to walk into a PvP instance, now these PvE players feel like in order to have that edge, they need to go into PvE and play that content just so they can, you know, be decent or even match, you know, these players that are just sort of wandering in from the PvE side. So while it's been a nice entry gate for PvE players, it's been kind of a hassle for PvP players to sort of feel like they're, you know, they're being undermined. Their efforts are just sort of not as rewarding. So, I mean, I think that we all agreed that, you know, PvP has just gotten a lot, you know, it's been really fun, this expansion for Legion. We're seeing a lot of fresh blood from the PvE side entering PvP. There's definitely some things to be wanted on the PvP side. We probably want to see, you know, PvP players feel rewarded with gear that contends with what we're seeing in PvE, where the item levels are somewhat of a similar, rate. And, I think as Legion continues, we're going to continue to see great changes. But for now, it's been an awesome change.
I was just going to pipe in with that, and I know this is a horse that I seem to keep beating, but Legion has given a lot of accessibility for all the things everywhere, and it's great. It still needs to be fine-tuned, but it's the best that it's ever been. And yeah, I'm happy. Not 100%, but it's a good spot that we've been so far.
We're now in the 99% of happiness. That's what's occurred here.
Shout out to our fan mail for this week, which is Morgan LaFay. And, you know, thank you for the compliments, and we hope you keep listening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Please give us a follow on Twitter at Arcane Analysis, or shoot us an email at arcana@blizzpro.com. If you really love the show, consider giving us a 5-star review on iTunes. It helps others find the show.